And welcome to the Smoke Break. I'm your host, Joel Pal Zane, here with Zoe Schwartz.
Hello.
And Taylor Barrett.
Hi. You forgot me there for a second.
I almost did. It's because I was about to do the next part. All right, so my pronouns are they, them, yours are?
She, her.
And?
He, him.
All right, cool. We're all caught up. This is a new change that we're all sort of getting used to. So, I mean, I expect that, you know, like most changes, that it's going to take some getting used to. So, yeah, I have some adjusting. I have patience for you, so don't worry about it. Cool, moving on. So, on this week's episode of The Smoke Break, we're going to do our disclaimer, which is to say that this is for entertainment purposes only. We work in the field, but do not claim to be professionals in this space. Our intention is to have conversations around lived experience, and as a result, we may not always agree or disagree with what our guests have to say, but I don't have to say that part because we don't have guests. Welcome to The Smoke Break. Let's do it.
You don't have to agree with what I say, though, either.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I often do. I often do. So this week, we wanted to talk about...
Delayed gratification and instant gratification.
Delayed gratification and instant gratification. Thank you. Yes. Delayed gratification. I feel like it's the thing that is ultimately more rewarding, but I also feel like it takes some more time to... get there. Yeah. I want to feel good now. I want to feel good now.
Yeah.
Like
you feel better if you feel better later.
But I feel bad now. That's the part that I don't like. So the way that I guess I was thinking of this is because it's like recently I've been playing a lot of video games. Video games are fucking sweet. Zoe's like, I can't relate already. But like the thing about video games is that they're constantly giving you that dopamine hit. That mm-hmm. they're just like, hey, you unlocked this. You did this. You're in a new place. You talked to this. You know, it's mm-hmm. like it's constantly giving you that. And I'm like, okay, if I'm constantly looking for instant gratification and getting it, then like I'm not seeing the rewards of like what can happen if I do something that might take longer.
Yeah.
And a lot of AAA games, like I guess for not nerds, that just means like games with a shitload of funding that have a huge player base, which like big name games like Fortnite and Call of Duty. Like mm-hmm. they implement this thing called like a battle pass mm-hmm. and that like when you buy it, it's usually like $10. When you buy it, that's like a new progression system.
Yeah.
And so that's just even more of a dopamine hit.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's helped them maintain their AAA status where like yeah, there's even without that, there's the constant leveling up, constantly unlocking
yeah,
new things.
It's the leveling this. Up. But yeah. I feel like we level up in life, but it just you don't see that progress.
Exactly.
Far.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So like what's been your experience with like instant gratification? Like are you somebody who's seeking it or you're like, I can wait it out?
I mean, I think I have ADHD, so I think by nature I am somebody who needs instant gratification because it takes like more for me to get my brain doesn't, you know, people with ADHD, our brains don't produce as much dopamine or as easily as other people's brains. They're like undersupplied with it.
Yeah.
So, I think, yeah, in that way, I definitely am somebody who is impulsive. But I think like as I've gotten old, I think it's something that's gotten easier as I've gotten older and I've like had enough experiences of like delaying gratification and then seeing how much like growth is involved in that process and like mm-hmm. how sometimes the thing that you're, you know, waiting for, the thing that you're working towards feels like it has more like sustainable or like a long-term benefit than the short-term. Yeah. So I think it also depends on like what we're talking about too, right? Like
yeah.
we're always going to need certain, like with food or for example, or something,
yeah.
you know, it's probably just good to eat when you're hungry. You know?
I think for me, it's just like, I'm trying to find a place where like I'm balancing mm-hmm. because it's just like, I need to have like an instant, like a delayed gratification thing. That's like kind of out in the future mm-hmm. of like, you know, I really want this thing to happen.
You're working towards it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That you're working towards it. And I want to have like that goal building and, you know, like those little hits of dopamine that you get along the way mm-hmm. until you get to the thing that you want to get to. Mm-hmm. But I also think that like instant gratification helps you like almost just get through the fucking day.
Yeah.
You know, like mm-hmm. this life is hard, you know? And like if my goals weigh the fuck out here and like there's a someday that I might get to it, mm-hmm. like I want to make sure that I'm making myself feel good on the way to it, you know, instead of just being like, oh, it's all the way out there and is I can just be unhappy until
eventually,
I get there. Eventually
I'll be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask, what are some ways that you find instant gratification? Because like, mm-hmm. I feel like video games are like the most popular way, and that's something that I definitely yeah. do too. Zane and I do that together. So like, I'm just curious.
Yeah, what's your?
If it's not video games, what could it be?
I don't know. What do I do for instant gratification? I don't know. I mean, I think I'm just like an impulsive person, kind of sometimes. Like
following impulses.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do this thing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty impulsive, but I don't know. I'm not like in a bad way though. Just like I can change my mind quickly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know if I have an example for that right now, but.
Yeah, something to,
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, on. That's a good question. I don't know. I vape, which I need to stop doing. That's definitely.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, once again, this life kind of sucks. Yeah. It's like, I feel like just being able to get that little, like, I feel good right now, even though, you know, even though, like, yeah. Well, I mean, just feel good right now.
I quit smoking cigarettes and I knew I was going to get addicted to the vape, but I was like, I have to stop smoking again because I started again when I was all stressed out during the pandemic. And yeah, and I think that right now, as far as like thinking about the things I'm doing that are giving me instant gratification that I'm feeling kind of guilty about, because like I know I'll feel really good if I quit, mm-hmm. but I have to get over that hit of dopamine that I'm getting every time I hit my vape, yeah. you know, and I think, and also like it is harder for people with ADHD. I think like we're more likely to get addicted to stuff because mm-hmm. it is harder to get dopamine. Mm-hmm. And I think, but also what you were saying about like needing a little bit of feedback on the way or like a little bit of dope, like I think that's also a strategy that like I learned when I was like coaching people with ADHD when I was in okay. grad school. It's like one of the things you have like is helpful to get yourself towards your goal is like setting little mini rewards, mm-hmm. you know? So like, okay, yeah. if I work study for an hour, I can have a treat, or like I can
yeah.
whatever, you know?
I want a treat.
Well, I was thinking of like something like that because it's just like I have like these longer term goals, but I also have this instant gratification that I constantly yeah. want. So it's like, how do I reward my long term, the progress of my long term goals with instant gratification?
Well, and know? Probably also because they're competing for time too, right? Right? Like that's mm-hmm. something that probably
I think that's the biggest issue is the finite time. Is where,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's really easy to stress yourself out about thinking like if I'm pursuing these like instant gratification hits, then that's taking away time that I could be pursuing the long term gratification. And that's like just I feel like that becomes negative self-talk really, really quick, mm-hmm. at least in my experience.
Yeah, finding a balance, though, I think that's the goal, right? Because mm-hmm. I think we're right. Like, we're right. It's like, we all have the same idea. Right. Is that we do need instant gratification to keep going, but we also need to have long-term goals so we can see the fruit of our labor, you know, or yeah. like see what, you know, what we can build if we don't just do the easiest thing, right? Because yeah. that's the other thing, is it's not doing the easiest thing.
Well, and something that like, you know, so like I've been working on more music lately, right? And it's just like, I feel like music is... It has like moments of instant gratification, but it is a very like, this isn't going to feel good until it's finished. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like a very, like it's a long-term, like a delayed gratification thing in that sense of like, this will feel good once it's completed, once it's recorded, once it's all these
there's
things.
There's also little mini hits along the way too.
There are where like, you write like a really good exactly, line. Yeah. So there's that, but it's like the delayed gratification of writing a bunch of bad fucking lines. And you're like sitting there and being like, okay, I've tried rewriting this verse fucking 5 times and I still can't get it. And it's like, that's a really hard thing to push through, you know, knowing that like once I finish it, I'll feel good and that like I can complete it. But like also knowing that like right now it kind of feels bad.
Yeah. Well, and then I forgot about comedy. Like obviously doing an open mic is like instant gratification, right? Because you're like.
Can be.
It can be instant disappointment as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is instant as far as like you could write a joke, go up, try it, get a laugh, boom, you know. Like,
yeah,
it could be
exactly.
quick, you know.
Well, and I think that like, you know, like the long-term gratification is like the us wanting to make it or
yeah,
whatever,
totally.
Whatever fucking sense of that there is like the long-term goal of like, I want to get on a show so I can do this really long set, you know, but it's just like you have to go through like the, you know, you have to understand that like to get a set, to get a new 10 minutes, to get a new this, to like that's long-term gratification mm-hmm. that like you're kind of being like this goal's out here and it's probably gonna fucking suck for like a mm-hmm. huge chunk of it, like, you know, a joke not working, you know, a joke that used to work not working anymore, like all the possibilities, you know, but also just acknowledging like, oh yeah, like I don't have a new 10 minutes, but like this new joke worked, you know, mm-hmm. being able to enjoy those yeah. little things yeah. along the way.
Or even just like marking the goal of going to more open mics. Like you can be proud that you did that, even if you bombed every, I mean, obviously ideally you're not going to bomb every time,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
but yeah, but you can also restructure like what the goal is mm-hmm. to see it as a dopamine hit, I guess. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I feel like, yeah, like the way that like you kind of pick those goals is really important too. Cause it's like, I think like the goals that you pick are like, they're like, I almost like guides to like, you know, where your gratification is, you know, mm-hmm. it's just like, if am I heading towards this thing because like it's something that like I ultimately want? Is it, am I heading towards it because, yeah, I don't know. I just.
And I think that in that same vein, like their long-term goals have to be in a sense, like realistic mm-hmm. and you can have multiple adjacent or really far apart long-term goals, or you can have like after I do this thing, then I'm going to reevaluate what my next long-term goal might be.
Yeah.
And so like setting it as like as realistic. You know, if your long-term goal is that you want to be a billionaire, you know, like,
yeah,
cool, but maybe like get to a millionaire first or some shit, you know, maybe yeah, like learn about stocks and investment first or some shit, mm-hmm, and then extend that goal. And I think that setting unrealistic long-term goals, or just like really, really distant ones, even if they are semi-realistic, just extremely yeah, distant ones, can lead to, like I said, like more negative self-talk, which
yeah,
like,
well, and you're not going to
dampen your progress.
Yeah, well, you're not going to feel like you're making progress, and exactly, it's like so distant that it's like one of these days. It's just like,
it's making me think what I've been thinking in my head. It's making me think of something called SMART goals. Have you guys heard of that before?
That sounds familiar.
It's like a specific way of creating goals that are measurable. I can't right now remember what all the acronym stands for, but it stands for like specific, measurable, and then something, you know, but it
attainable.
Yeah. And then like, I don't remember, I could Google it real quick, but it's kind of what you guys are talking about. It's like the perfect formulation for creating a goal that you can actually measure. And then there, I think like we learned about them kind of in combination with like motivational interviewing, mm-hmm, but basically like you're more likely to succeed at those kinds of goals because they're measurable in a way. And then you think you come up with like, what is short term, you know, it's like, it's just more clear. So I think,
well, and I think like creating like just different systems of measurement, like for, you know, like what gratification could be. Cause it's like, you could go to like, let's say an open mic, do a joke and be like, oh, like this joke didn't work. Yeah, that's they're like, this joke didn't work. But you could also be able to like, I totally spaced that popped up on the screen, and
I was going to Google smart jokes.
I totally lost it.
No, it's okay. But yeah, I do think figuring out how you measure what success looks like, mm-hmm, when you're trying to think about, or like, yeah, thinking about like how is the goal going to be met? Like, what does the process look like? How am I going to decide whether I've gotten closer? And then the more you can like specify that, the more you can get those dopamine hits out.
Yeah. That's what it was. Measurability. So it's just like, if you measure something, you can measure something as like, you know, did I get laughs, or it's like, did I deliver it better? Did mm-hmm, I deliver it slower? Did I, you know, speak more clearly? It's yeah, like, if you create different forms of like measurement, then it's like you can, the ways that you succeed can be, you know, like, yeah, it's not just like, was it an overall success?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you could have it's succeeded. Not a pass fail class.
You exactly. Know,
like, there's a lot of different avenues that you can measure growth, progress, and even success in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And mm-hmm, I like giving yourself the opportunity to like break all those down would be really important.
Mm-hmm.
I had a more experienced comedian when I was first starting off tell me that like one of the things you could do is like, every time you go to an open mic, you set a goal, and it can just be like, I'm going to enunciate more. Yeah, I'm going to say less
exactly,
ums, or
exactly,
you know what I mean, or whatever. Or I'm going to try for a new tag. Mm-hmm. And so then that way, even if you bomb, it's like, well, I'm working towards my independent goals.
Yes.
Whether I had a great set or not, I leveled up in the sense of like, I set a goal, and it was like, mm-hmm, a, you know, like a workout where you're actually like being like, I'm going to use upper body today versus, well, you know, like,
and I like that you said that, because like that kind of reminds me of like, you know, like being like having like little measurements and stuff. Like, I've noticed that there's apps and stuff that are just like, mm-hmm, will mark like you drank enough water today.
Oh yeah,
you know, and mm-hmm, it's just like getting those little points. It's like, even if they're literally nothing else, like just getting those points, you're like, sweet, you know?
I saw an app like that, and like, based off of what you're doing in life as far as like self-care and like, mm-hmm, progress and stuff, the character that you have and designed gets stronger, and like you can like do more shit in this like, oh, like crazy fantasy adventure campaign, yeah, with the character that's getting stronger because of your real world
that's
achievements.
So goofy.
And yeah, I was like, fuck, that might get me. That yeah, might yeah, that might get
but that's
me.
The no, thing
that's
is like
good motivation. Yeah.
I feel like there's just no measurement. You know, like as somebody who plays video games, there's like an experience bar of like, okay, you're yeah, almost to the next level. You're almost to the but it's mm-hmm, like,
I've like create one for yourself.
You do. Yeah. Cause it's like, I feel like I'm looking at my life and I'm just like, am I anywhere better than I was a fucking year ago?
Yeah. Totally,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's like yes, I am. But yeah, like it's hard to see that yeah, without something that's just like, oh, you're at the next level.
And you don't get like a special sound when you
yeah,
you, level, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, it's like you do something better, and it's like,
dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Level 200 now. That's sick.
All right, awesome. Well, we're going to take a real quick break, and we will be right back with the smoke break. And welcome back to the smoke break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane. Here with Zoe Schwartz.
Hello.
And Taylor Barrett.
I have coffee now.
And we're doing much better. I feel like coffee is really great for
oh,
focus.
Yeah.
Oh, oh my hell goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Whoa.
Wow.
How do we make it to our topic all of a sudden? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Focus is something that like, as somebody with like ADHD, I really struggle with. It's the thing that gets things done. You know, I feel like if you can have a really good idea, but if you can't focus on it, then like it's just remains a good idea.
Story of my life.
Hard relate. But yeah, I don't know. What's been like both of y'all's experience with focus?
I would say focus is something that I've always struggled with. I find ways to keep myself distracted more than I find ways to keep myself focused. And I feel like those feelings are very adjacent because you feel like you're being focused when you're doing something that you're distracted by, but it's just something that's good at grabbing your attention generally. And lately I've been trying to be honest with myself about like how much focus I can put into something. Like when we were working on our script, I was like, I think I'm out of brain juice.
Yeah. You know? I appreciated that.
Cause like I hit a threshold sometimes where I feel like I can just like pump out a bunch of creativity. And then like, I hit a point where I'm like, I don't know if I have any more gas in the tank.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciated you saying that. Cause it's like, there's definitely been times where I'm like, I want to work on this song. And it's just like, there's a certain amount of time, you know, or even with like writing jokes where you can just put time into something. And then it's like the diminishing returns or whatever, where it's like, it doesn't matter that I'm continuing to work on this because like I'm not even my full self that I'm putting into it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think everybody's different, like how long they can focus for. Obviously, people that are ADHD, like maybe less, you know. But I think also like there is a interesting thing about people with ADHD is that we can hyper-focus.
So it's like, it's really cool.
Yeah, when I'm interested in something, I'm like, so I'll read all the books. Put all
like the
energy.
Splinter Cell goggles just come on.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But if it's not interesting to me, I'll like just totally not even register it. Like I've taken the same math classes over and over and over again. And it doesn't matter how many times I take algebra, I'm going to need like a tutor every fucking time. Or I'm going to test back into the low. Like when I had to switch schools multiple times, like in college, they make you test, you know, they take the placement test. And I would test back into like pre-algebra. Like I've taken pre-algebra and algebra like 7 times. You know what I mean? It's like, I just don't give a fuck. So my brain is never going to remember.
It doesn't really connect.
Yeah, has no incentive for me. So I think focus has a lot to do with incentive and like what lights you up.
Well, they can be similar but also they can be totally different.
Sometimes
my incentive is just like learning about something that I'm passionate about, and sometimes there's like a like an actual tangible reward from learning about something. But the one where it's not where I'm not super interested about it, I find significantly more difficult to focus on for long periods of time. Like when I was doing college shit, I would sit there and like pay attention for like every class, but it was just like in one ear and out the other sometimes. I really had to like lock in and try to just like, okay, I'm gonna take fucking notes, I'm gonna do all this, and just like make sure that I was getting as much information as possible. But when I'm like doing a deep dive on like fucking, I don't know, like old school, like horror directors. It's nothing to me to just like soak it up. You know what I mean? Like I could tell you a lot of shit that happened on The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
I like that movie. Well,
no, I feel like I can hyper focus on stuff like with music and stuff. Like I would sit when I was learning about music theory and all this just nerdy shit, like I was so interested in it and I could just sit and focus on it. And I was like, I never knew about the whole hyper focus superpower part of it because everyone's like, oh, you can't focus. And I'm like, it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like
it. I can't stop focusing.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't shut it off.
Yeah, exactly. But I do feel like that's part of it. And I really like what you said about interest and stuff too, because it's like, I feel like, you know, it's easy to say that we can't focus on stuff that we don't care about. Of course you don't care about
it. Which feels kind of mean sometimes. It's like, sorry, I just don't give a shit.
Yeah. No, but that's... go ahead.
No. I was just going to say that's where discipline comes into play, right? Because it's like sometimes we want to be good at something that we don't find interesting, but we know that like once we're good at it, we'll probably get, you know, like pleasure out of it, but the learning process isn't interesting. Like that's a thing. Or like we want a certain job, so we're doing this program or whatever. And like, yeah, we're not going to like all the classes we have to take. I feel like I'm rubbing it in your face because you were like, that's how college shit works.
It sucks.
No, it took me a really long time. It took me a really long time to get through.
No, but
yeah, like that there's, yeah, I think I lost my train of thought. But you guys knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, and I think there's this unique like middle ground of like being interested in something but not interested in learning how to get good at something that I've seen happen a lot.
Yeah.
Like I've taught a lot of people how to play fighting games. It's one of my biggest passions is fighting games. But once you start talking about frame data, mm-hmm. like frame data and like specific, like it runs 60 frames a second. So if something's in one frame, that's 1/60th of a second. When you start talking about how many frames a certain thing takes, people just check the fuck out. And
you saw that live. Yeah.
Like, it's like when someone tries to explain Bitcoin to me every time. And I'm
I don't give a shit about Bitcoin.
Frame data and Bitcoin.
I've asked people to explain it to me multiple times. And every time they start talking and I'm like, I don't know why I asked. I can't even listen to this. Like, I don't care. Yeah. My brain just stops listening.
But it's weird seeing that people that like love fighting games but don't want to hear a fucking thing about like about
the stuff in between.
Yeah, about the stuff in between. And it's like this is how you enjoy the thing that you like even more. And there's like, I just want to fucking hit square.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think like the discipline portion of it is like discipline is like when focus isn't easy, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. It's like You have to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like almost like discipline is manual focus.
Yeah. Totally.
That's like because it's like there's going to be times. You know, it's I'm trying to think of like what the other thing is where it's just like inspiration and like. I don't know. I feel like inspiration and discipline are also like one of those things where it's just like inspiration is this thing you wait to come, you know, and mm-hmm. discipline is like what you create when it's just when you don't feel inspired.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But you have to have some of each, I think, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, both are important, but like I've been working on music, like I said, a lot lately, and it's like I've been making a practice of just writing even though it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like the muscle of writing, the muscle of figuring out better lines and all this other stuff. It's just like I'm making a discipline of being like, I'm going to spend an hour on this today. Mm-hmm. Like I can fuck mm-hmm. off with the rest of my day, but an hour of this day is going to this. And it's hard. Like, what do you think is the biggest difficulty you have with discipline?
Everything.
Mine is fucking it up one time and being like, fuck it, I'm never doing it again.
I don't know.
I think that's common.
I just genuinely have a hard time being disciplined about anything that isn't fun for me. Like, mm-hmm. it's everything that, like cleaning, mm-hmm. getting my work done, like, all of it is a struggle for me. And I randomly will, like, get myself in the right zone where I can, like, bust out some stuff, you know, but I don't know. It's hard. I don't really know. I think.
What is fun for you?
I mean, lots of stuff is fun for me, but like talking to my friends, doing comedy, I don't know. Like just like the stuff like cleaning my house or like getting my work done, I can procrastinate a lot. Then when I finally do it, I feel great. And it's like, you wish you could just remind yourself of that, right?
Like, do you ever like gamify stuff?
Well, yeah. And I think that kind of is I should do it more, but I think that's kind of what I was talking about with that, like giving rewarding yourself, like kind of uh-huh. tricking yourself into doing it. Yeah. Like, and breaking things up into chunks. Like that's supposed to be a really good one. But yeah, I'm pretty undisciplined, I guess I would say. Yeah.
I think one of my biggest struggles with discipline, especially when it comes to like cleaning stuff or like the best example I can think of is like when everyone always tried to get me to make my bed. I was like, fucking why? Like, it's like I understand the value of like cleaning stuff, but I think making the bed is like the biggest irk that I have. Cause it's like, I'm literally just going to fuck it up tonight. Like when you clean stuff, it like, obviously you prevent like gross shit from happening when you're like cleaning countertops and bathrooms and shit.
Yeah.
But like the making the bed thing drives me nuts. Cause it's like that. I'm not vacuuming it.
Like, yeah. I'm not cleaning it. I'm just making it.
It goes away that night. It changes that night. When I get back in bed, I'm going to roll around and destroy this fucking blanket again. I know how this goes.
See, that's weird because that's a funny thing that you brought that up. For some reason, I make my bed every morning, but for like probably up until I was like 30, I didn't. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even like 30, you know, like it's only been
just discipline
like,
practice for you?
Yeah, I think I just started light. Like, I think this is honestly funny. I think it was like I got some comforter covers that I really liked. Mm-hmm. And so I liked walking past my bedroom and like seeing it look nice.
I feel that. Look like a hotel.
Yeah, not like I don't do it perfectly by any means, but it just like visually like, and it's dumb because I like there's a lot of other like I won't leave dishes in the living room, you know, like I won't always wash them, but I won't leave like I rarely would leave like my cup or my plate in the living room, like it's like I have little things that help.
Do you still get impulses to do those things where you're just like, no, I don't do that anymore?
I don't know, it's automatic now. It's probably automatic. Probably how consistency works, right?
So
I built a habit.
Consistency, yeah. I like that. The other thing I was gonna say is that discipline, I think discipline requires a why.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, it's hard to be disciplined if you don't know why the fuck you're doing it. You know, it's like, how can I be disciplined about making my bed if I, in my mind, have decided that it's kind of fucking pointless? So it's just like having the okay, this is why I'm creating this habit. It's that allows you to be like, okay, this is why I do this on days that I don't want to do this.
Even without the instant or long-term gratification, just like knowing why you're doing it helps
you
do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's where I've struggled with that is like, I don't get the instant or long-term gratification from a lot of like chores type of shit. Mm-hmm. So like the having a good reason to do it. Like lately, my reason has been like, because this is the kind of person I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's been helpful, but also it feels kind of bad sometimes because like, oh, I'm not that yet. And it sucks a little bit. But
well, by saying like, this is the person I want to be, you're implying that you're not that person.
Exactly.
Now. Yeah. So it's like you can make yourself feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure there's better ways for me to do that, but that's been my...
There's like, great ways to make yourself feel bad. Like, I know them.
Or like, I want to be better than I was yesterday. I feel like that's a kinder way of kind of doing
that. Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like, I'm still respectful.
Did I suck yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, I know. That made me think of how I think it is important to be like kind to yourself when you're not at your end goal to like, you know, to find... like this, you know, it's in the journey, not the destination. Like, I think it's true. I think like when you really are working towards something that is going to take, you know, like a sustained amount of discipline, it is really important to be able to do that, I think. So,
yeah. Well, and I think that like discipline and focus are like, they're two things that you need to meet a goal. But like, I also think that like, I don't know, like in my experience, like focus is really hard to fucking like maintain, right? Like I might be able to have it for a short period of time. I might be able to have it for one day, but like to maintain focus to like, cause there's been times I've sat down, I'm like, I'm gonna work on a song. And then I work on it for like 30 minutes. And then like, I get a fucking Facebook notification. I'm like, wonder what everyone's doing on here. And it's just like, okay, I lost my focus.
And you're scrolling through reels.
Phone was something that came up in my mind when we first started talking about this too, like how we're all so focused on our phone and that kind of distracted focus where you're like, I've been looking at it for an hour, but like nothing on there was like, I didn't intentionally just look at it for an hour. Yeah. Right. Or even just like watching reels. Like I just watch reels. Like, and it is that instant gratification thing of every, you get a new one, you know, it's just like swiping on the dating app or something. It's like, you can't stop. You're all just a couple more, just a couple more.
Well, and I think that's really good that you brought that up because it is like that instant gratification thing of like, you know, this is, and the thing that's like super difficult about focus is that like once you go switch to another task, like I learned about this in like music production. It's like there's different types of things you can do in music production. Only do one. Like if you're only going to write like the parts for it, don't like do the stuff where you're tweaking the knobs and making a different sound. Making sounds its own chunk because each time your brain switches, you
lose focus.
Exactly. Yeah. Where it's like, it's hard to like fucking start, you know, as soon as you get your brain into the fucking mode, like ride that mode.
And that's something that's harder for people with ADHD too, is we have harder time switching tasks.
Yes. I've heard a lot of techniques to like make, like I'm going to use chores again as an example, but like just to make things like that more streamlined. Mm. And then those things will end up bogging me down. They're just like, yeah, just put on music. And then I take a half an hour to like find a song I want to listen to.
Yeah.
And then that song changes because I'm on shuffle and I'm like, wait, no, I don't want this song now. I go back. And
what's
like,
that one album? And you're just like fucking there.
You should
forever.
See me clean. I'm like, I start doing one thing and then I see something out. And then before you know it, I'm like cleaning the bass. And I'm like, what am I doing? I just did like seven things. None of them made any sense. I hafted all of them.
But and like, I always think that I can't do the next thing until I do this thing. You know, I'm just like, well, I can't write this because I don't have the information on this. But then they had this other article that was attached to it. And I'm just like,
you're like, so I can't finish anything.
Yeah, so, you know, I just never took a shit. Like, it's just like...
You do research about taking shits?
Listen, it was a busy day.
I highly recommend a squatty potty.
Squatty potty is OP.
Yeah, I actually stand to poop, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot we talked about this.
What's wrong with your finger?
I think I have a bug bite. It's fine. I don't know.
Mac it.
Yeah.
What about focus?
You have to pat it like a weave.
This conversation made me realize that the things that I am disciplined about, I didn't really decide. I just kind of did. And then the things I want to be disciplined about, I can't be. Like I realize, because I'm like, why do I make my bed every day? I'm like, why can't you do the other things that you keep telling yourself you're going to do? There's certain things that have.
But do you think it's because you don't have the whys yet?
I don't know. No, not at all. I think it's just probably
because it feels like your bed is. Wait. Or are you gonna say
I was going to say it's probably just because it's those things are quicker. Like making a bed takes 5 minutes, but like me doing a workout, you know, or whatever takes a lot more energy. So.
We answered it with instant gratification. Yeah, exactly. I figured it out.
Which is a really good Dance Gavin Dance album.
Okay.
Instant gratification.
Okay. Well,
is it really?
It
I didn't know that.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately, you know, like with focus and instant gratification, like the or not instant gratification, focus and
discipline
is that like they take time. They take time to build up. You know, it's not something.
It's a muscle.
Yeah. It's exactly.
Yeah,
it's
that's
a
how
muscle,
I think about
and
it.
You have to like work it out. You have to repeat it. You have to. You know, I think something that I learned that was really cool was just the idea of like focusing for 25 minutes and taking a 5 minute break.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Focusing for 25 minutes, 5 minute break. It's just like you can commit to 25 minutes. You know, I'm not asking you to do this for a whole fucking hour. I'm saying do it for a chunk.
There's something called the Pomodoro technique.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's like, and I think it like, it changes a little bit. Like first you take shorter breaks and then you take a little bit longer. Like mm-hmm. every three breaks, three you take breaks, like a longer break.
15. Yeah.
And, it's actually like, there's evidence that it's like one of the most effective ways to sustain attention. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's.
Try it out.
Pomodoro effect or whatever effect.
The butterfly effect.
Technique.
Check it out.
Technique. The butterfly technique.
Strategy thing that you do. I don't know.
Okie doke. Well, we'll be right
that was helpful.
Back. Yeah, hopefully that was helpful.
That was focus.
And we will be right back with the smoke break. And welcome back to the smoke break. During this last section, we are going to talk about decision making.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Decision making. Decision making, in my experience, I will hold off on making a decision because I think there is a more right decision. Mm-hmm. And that can stop me from making any decision at all, because sometimes there isn't a perfect answer to something.
I've heard it called decision paralysis.
Decision paralysis.
Yes. That's what I called it.
Yeah, because it's almost like if you can't make the perfect decision, then you don't want to make it. But then
I want to make a wrong decision.
But I've seen that hold like really people back that have like a lot to offer the world, you know what mm-hmm. I mean, like not making a decision because they're so focused on making the right decision, and then before you know it you're 40 and you're like, why didn't I make a decision?
I think the most prevalent way that I've seen that show up is like when you're at a restaurant and you like don't know what you want, and so like you've already read the entire menu six times, mm-hmm. but you're just like, wait, no, like do me last, and then like
I always do that whenever someone will come up and I'll say just order, and then it'll force me to pick one. I do that.
Yeah. And then you're sweating like enchiladas,
and it's always the wrong one.
I panic because like I've been a server and I'm like, I don't want to be annoying, so I'll pick something I don't even want, so I'm not a fucking
I've watched you do that
yeah.
And I like, if it wasn't so fucking funny sometimes I would be upset.
Yeah I'm just like I'll just look at the menu and the first thing I'll see, I'll be like, I'll take that so I'm not inconvenienced.
Oh my god.
And it's just like okay, that was like 3 seconds. I don't know what the fuck you're worried about. That's how I ended up with a cheeseburger omelet from IHOP. Yeah Ew. It's yeah, I was with Amanda, and I panicked because I didn't want to be annoying, and it was awful. It was an omelet with mustard and ketchup.
And then your farts were probably fine. More annoying. It had awful. Mustard and ketchup?
Mustard and
ground
ketchup.
Beef.
Ground
on
beef.
Eggs?
Yep, I know. I'm sorry. So sometimes you make the wrong decision if you make a decision too quickly.
Well, that made me think about how like the more options you have, the harder it is to make a decision. Mm. And so like sometimes when you're making an important decision, it's really important to like, well, that's what I'll do with the menu thing too. Sometimes I'll be like, okay, it's between this and this, you know, and then I think
narrow it down.
I think you have to. Yeah. Cause I think when you struggle with decision paralysis or whatever, or have a hard time making decisions and trying to make, you have to like narrow it down. Like, or else you're never going to make one.
Yeah. Like a tournament bracket where it's like, these two are the best options on this side. And then it's like, okay, well now it's between these two.
You
keep chipping away at things you don't want.
Like, have you guys ever been to the Cheesecake Factory?
Nope.
It literally has like a book for a menu. It has like everything. Like it's like a 20 page menu.
Yeah. Those poor cooks.
It's crazy. Like it's thick. It, like if dropped from a high height, could kill someone.
It has like multiple. Like they have like Chinese food. They have like, I don't know. They have like several different genres and like genres. Not the right word, but yeah, types of food. And I always would have a really hard time making a decision.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that I like what you say about like, you know, there being like the amount of decisions kind of like creates that paralysis.
Mm. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. No. I think so.
And I think too what you were saying about like trying to make the perfect decision, like. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to make the perfect decision, anything that's not the perfect decision is going to feel like it's the wrong decision. Mm-hmm, and that's the problem, is that like if you narrow it down in that way between perfect and not perfect, then like like I said, everything that's not that is going to be the wrong answer. And mm-hmm. it's like there's more nuance than that.
Well, and sometimes making the wrong decision is important, right? If you only ever made the right decision, then you don't learn how to deal with problems. You know what I mean? So I think it's unrealistic, probably too, but also it's not really teaching you valuable lessons. Like there's probably just as much value in making the wrong decision as there is in making the right decision, because mm-hmm. that's not a real thing anyway, right?
I mean,
some things.
Yeah, there's some things that you can, you know, like you can come to I feel like I handled this the best that I could, but I think that there's other things that it's like, I don't know. I think that like it comes from like a worry of like, but what if I would have chosen the other thing?
Mm-hmm,
you know, like
mm-hmm.
that's where I find myself being like, you know, no matter how I handle it, I'm always just like, but what if I had done it this way?
Yeah.
And I think the problem that I've heard brought up a lot is that like, you can't know that that would have made things turn out better.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can say it was the wrong decision, but who's to say the other thing wouldn't have totally flopped or gone backwards?
Yeah. It could have gone sideways. And yeah.
Well, I was thinking, like, do you guys have any specific ways that you make decisions? You know how, like some people make decisions based on their gut instincts. Some people make decisions based on logic. I mean, obviously, depending on the situation. Yeah. COVID, but some people are. How do you think?
I think I try to be very, very logical, and that's caused decision paralysis pretty often. And that also, like, in not listening to my gut, I've seen a lot of things just kind of like blow by me, and I'm like, fuck, I should listen to my gut. Mm-hmm. And a couple times, especially lately, like I want to say in the last couple months, I've been trying to just listen to my gut more and just be like, yeah, okay, yeah, let's fucking do this. Yeah. Because this I feel a little bit of like magnetic pull towards this decision or whatever. Mm-hmm. More often than not, that has worked out for me.
Yeah.
And so I think that people that are consistently more logical, despite how much better that it feels to like have all that thought put into it, I think they kind of owe it to themselves to try to trust their gut, even if it's awkward or like, oh, I don't want to like be weird or like ask a dumb question or like do this thing and then be perceived this way or something. Like, listening to your gut, I feel like, is good for logical people to do. And I think the inverse is also true. People that always listen to their gut.
Be logical sometimes.
Yeah. Owe it to themselves to be logical sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, and that made me think about how I feel like our culture like really imposes a lot of like values and morals from the outside. And so we think that there are morals and values, but then like, at some point we might realize like, oh, I don't actually, like, why am I thinking this? Why do I think I have to do this? Like, do I actually want to do this? Or is this something I feel like I'm supposed to do? You know, and like, you kind of pick that apart as you go and look back on your life and sort of question like some of the decisions you make. Yeah. You've been like, well, if I would have thought about it harder, or if I would have had more information.
I think a way that shows up a lot, especially right now, is like the concept of like a nuclear family being like the way a family is supposed to operate. A wife, husband, two kids, and the husband goes to work and the wife stays at home. And that being traditional family values, it's like being put into question a lot right now, rightfully so. And people that have considered that their values instead of imposed values are pretty upset about that. But like, gotta change with the times, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes for me, like when I've felt bad about myself, like I think sometimes I realize that it's because the thing I'm using to measure or to decide or the value or the thing that I'm using is kind of like not really mine, you know? Like it's socially imposed.
Yeah. Well, it's questioning if you're making a decision because it's this decision that you think is the best fit for you, or like if it's a decision that was like, you know, made for you of like, this is the best way to act. Like, that's why you act this way.
Well, and I think it takes away from our ability. That's what I was getting at. Was like, I think it takes away from our ability to connect with our intuition, which like kind of robs us of our relationship with ourselves. And I think that ties into like capitalism and all that crap, right? Like, being less independent thinking, you know what I mean? Like, it makes us easier to control. It makes us easier to, you know, whatever. So I think there's a lot of other stuff going on there, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, and I think like just giving, you know, like potential to like a decision, like just even like assuming that, like, not even assuming, but like being like accepting that the decision that you made was the best one that you could have made, you know? Like, cause I think that, like, when we ultimately choose, we're like, oh, I should have. And it's just like, you have the information you have now that wasn't the best decision only because you made that decision and saw how it panned out.
Hindsight is 20/20. Yeah,
exactly. Like, you can now use that information to inform your next decision. You can use that experience to inform your next decision. But like,
giving yourself the grace that you don't have, that you didn't have the information that you now have because you made that decision.
Yeah.
I think that people owe that to themselves for sure.
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, and I really like what you were saying about like the whole, you know, emotion and logic thing, because it's like, I feel like I'm somebody who makes decisions from emotion, because I'm just like, how does, you know, like whether I decide to stay somewhere, whether I decide to leave somewhere, I'm just like, I'm not doing it because logically it makes sense for me to stay or to go. I'm doing it because emotionally I'm like, I don't feel comfortable, I'm going to go. I feel nice, so I'm going to stay, you know. It's just like, instead of being like, this thing right here will benefit me, so like, I need to do this thing. Like, there was a funeral that happened recently, and I really, really, really wanted to go to it. And it was from somebody who was in the hip hop community that like was just a fucking sweetheart. Like, every time I would go out to a show, like, he would fucking get a selfie with me. Like, homie made me feel like a fucking rock star. And he had like a benefit show, and I really, really, really wanted to go, but because I was just like, I was too in my feelings. I was like, I felt uncomfortable, you know, like I didn't do the thing that logically, like if I really wanted to, you know, like pay all of these things back, like logically I should have been there. But like emotionally, I was just like, I don't know, you know, like what if I'm uncomfortable? And it's like, I made a decision with my gut when like logic, I feel like would have been a better thing. You know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, do I ultimately know?
Yeah.
But do I ultimately know that that would have been the best decision? There's a chance I could have gone and, you know, people threw fucking tomatoes at me. I don't fucking, you know what I mean? Like I can think that I made the wrong decision by not going, but like, I can also accept that like, maybe that was the thing I needed to do in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's another reason to like, just embrace that, like, we all are doing the best we can at any given moment, even mm-hmm. if that sucked, that was the best we were able to do right then. And that's why, like, the whole rethink or, you know, looking, reflecting and regretting or, you know, things mm-hmm. like that's not really helpful. It's better, like, to be like, oh, well, what can I learn from that decision that I made? You know, like, why did I make that decision? Was I feeling fearful? You know, like, that's another thing that makes me, that made me think of is like the idea of use, like, am I being motivated by fear or am I being motivated by love? I think I've heard that as like a really good goal to, or a goalpost to use or measurement to use to decide if you're listening to your intuition.
Yeah.
Is that like, if it's coming from a place of love, it's probably more likely, but if it's coming from a place of like fear or competition or, you know, kind of a more negative emotion, I guess.
I like that.
Nah. I mean, not that competition has to be a negative emotion, but.
No. But I think
someone
like.
Someone who's highly competitive.
No, it's not an emotion. I don't know. Is that an emotion?
No, but it's
motivation.
Yeah, I think it's adjacent to fear sometimes when the fear is like being outdone by something or when it's not legitimately just like a competition that you sign up, you know, it's a fucking taekwondo competition or whatever. Mm. It's like when you have this like unnecessary feeling of competitiveness, I think that is appropriately adjacent to fear. So I think you're definitely onto something. Mm-hmm. With that.
Yeah. Cause it's fear of not being good enough because you're measuring your worth based off of comparing yourself to someone else.
Yeah.
It's probably not that useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that. I think it's smart to put that so close to fear because I think there is a fear of that.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like it's a fear of losing. Like if your goal is to win, then you're afraid of the opposite.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but there's like a podcast I listened to or something, and I think she used that example, and I'm like trying to remember that more. Like, am I doing this out of fear or am I doing, you know, because I think I feel really indecisive a lot just about like going to an open mic. I really do a lot of like, should I stay home or should I be social? That's like one of my biggest like back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you could be thinking about like, okay, well, am I not going because of my, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. But.
Well, I mean, I like Taylor asked, you know, he was like, I'm going to go to the store. And I was just like, okay, cool. do that. And he's like, do you want to come with? And I was like, oh, socializing, leaving the house. I should do that, you know? And it's like, but I've been doing more work on like asking myself questions, you know, because it's like usually I would just think the thing I thought and be like, well, that's probably right. I thought it, you know, and now I'm like, why do I think that? Why do I think that I don't want to go to the store? Is it because I don't need anything? Is it because I don't want to interact? Well, I do want to interact.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Am I afraid it's going to be a bad interaction? So it's just like, I think like being able to constantly question, you know, like where a decision's coming from.
Yeah, yeah, being curious. Well, and that makes me think about that idea of like your first thought is often your like socially conditioned thought. I've probably said this before. And then your second thought is like more likely to be like your true feelings or your authentic stuff.
Yeah, one's like a reaction.
So that's what you're doing.
More like a genuine thought.
Yeah, so you're being curious and then it's leading you more to like what you actually feel versus what you think you're supposed to feel or like.
What my brain has been on loop thinking.
Totally.
You know,
I think that really goes into like, we were talking about the question everything people and how they often don't question everything because they don't want to question things that like align with their immediate thoughts.
Yeah.
And I think that you are kind of even taking that a step further. And it's like, you're not just questioning everything around you. Like you're questioning things internally too. Like why do I think this? Is this how I actually feel?
Mm-hmm.
And like that, I think that can be dangerous if it goes unchecked. But I think the way you're doing it is really smart where you're just making sure that like, you have all the information you
can
get.
Well, I'm using it in a positive way because I feel like I was questioning everything before, but I was getting positive things and questioning how they might be negative. And now I'm like getting negative things and being like questioning like how could this be positive?
Yes.
And like that's
turned it around.
Yeah. And the way you used to be doing it is why I put the disclaimer of like, that can be dangerous because you can warp things out of being positive. But if you're doing it the way that you're currently doing it, I think it can be very healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, being able to do that is like, you know, like that's a decision. That's something that like I had to be like, how am I going to look at this?
That's your version of not leaving cups on the coffee table.
Yes.
Well, and you're more likely to make a decision that's like more aligned with your values or your goals if you take the time to sit. I mean, not that your intuition or your like automatic thought or decision couldn't be aligned with your values, but I do think
you're double checking.
Yeah, it's like you're giving, you're being curious about where it's coming from, and then you might have you're more likely to catch some sort of like measurement that you're using that isn't actually aligned with you anymore, or that it, like you said, is an old story or like an old conditioning or fear or whatever. Yeah. So, and I think that leads you back more to your like intuition, and then you get to trust yourself more.
That's true.
And I think that's then we don't question ourselves as much. Once we trust ourselves, once we like rebuild that, like how to listen to yourself, then you're more likely to be like, oh yeah, no, that's the right thing right off the bat.
Yeah.
Good job.
I do want enchiladas.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to trust my intuition.
I do want a cheeseburger omelet.
Next time I get a cheeseburger omelet, it'll be my choice.
Exactly. All right. Excellent. Well, that has been the Smoke Break. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us. I've been your host, Joel Palzang. Here was Zoe Schwartz.
Bye.
Taylor Barrett.
Peace out.
Later, players.